morning again. It is always a privilege to share God's words. Even though I have been doing this for a few years, and I still feel, the trepidation to stand up here to speak for God. That is an awesome responsibility. However, one time I was reminded the work is done by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord relieved my pressure by shifting the responsibility from solely here over to the audience. Because I was reminded that when Jesus was preaching, not everybody was converted or even received it. So the real thing is in the real responsibility is in the listener. Whatever God uses, the Spirit can always turn into each person's need. So let's come before Him and ask Him to bless us. Our Heavenly Father, we come together to worship You. Lord, I pray that You will find our worship pleasing to Your heart. Lord, speak to us. Prepare our hearts. Prepare this vessel to not only keep Your words, but allow that word, allow Your word to speak to our heart, our mind, and our spirit, and turn these things into a life that speaks for You every day, every minute. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And maybe you find this title today kind of strange. So what's the answer? Is Jesus your King or Lord? What's the answer? Both, of course. Maybe you have already discovered that oftentimes I ask some kind of a trick question, right? Well, this is sort of trick question, but not really. Jesus is our King. No question. What do you do with King? You don't do anything to Him. You let Him do things to you. You obey Him. You do what He told you to do. He is the King. That's what King means. But how about Lord? It has a deeper meaning, being Lord. So let me think. I should work on this. And we have just read these verses, so we won't go through it again. A lot of verses. But then I have one more passages I want us to read it. Okay, let's read it together. As Jesus, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, "Lord, don't You care that my sister has left me to do work by herself? Tell her to help me." Oh, sorry. My computer and this is not synchronized. I didn't realize that. Okay. Then continue. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Let's go back to the history. We know that Israelites, they wanted a king. They wanted Saul to be their king. And according to the scripture here, Samuel was upset when they asking for a king, right? And God actually told him, oh, don't be upset. Just let them have a king they want, because they are not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. They don't want God to be their king. They want Saul. They want a human king. So Samuel was upset. Why was that? Actually, this has a precedence. What was the precedence? Israelites actually wanted Moses to be their king. Of course, the Bible never said Moses was their king. But the idea is the same. They don't want God to be their king. Why is that? Because, as we see here, at the foot of the Mount Sinai, what happened? God displayed his power, and people got scared. Their fear for their life, because they know they're sinners. They know they're no good. They know that. So when they feel the presence of God, they tremble, and they told Moses, saying, okay, you talk to them. I don't want to talk. We don't want to talk to them, because he is just too powerful. And you talk to them, and then you talk to us. We will listen to you, right? What's the real reason for that? Have you ever thought about it? Why do they want to deal with Moses rather than deal directly with God? If Moses is supposed to speak what God spoke to him, why do you need someone in the middle? Why not directly deal with God? A very, very simple and a good reason. The good reason is that when you deal with God, can you negotiate with him? You don't. Whatever he said, you do, or else, right? But when you deal with Moses, it's a totally different story. That reminds me sometimes about my kids. They rather deal with mom, not with dad. Because when dad says something, that's it. You do it or else. But when they deal with mom, they bargain, they whine, they do this, and they just all kind of new tricks they have with mom. Of course, this two things is not totally same, but it bears some resemblance. This is where the problem is. We don't really like to do what God told us to do. So here, from today's passages, there are two things. Mary anoints Jesus with costly nard, and excuse me. And people in Jerusalem hailed Jesus King of Israel. Now these two things does not seem like this connected, but they are. They are connected, because they have two totally different sentiments. toward Jesus. One is they're making Jesus Lord, or simply making Jesus King. That's the main point of today. Let's take a look. Now, I know some of you, especially younger people, do not understand Chinese, but let's see. Kids, what is this word? You know? Say it. You don't? Do you go to Chinese school? Oh, I'm sorry. That's the problem. Aha, here he is. What is this word? Wang, okay. You do know your Chinese. How about this? What's the difference? One dot. Now, is there a real difference of this one dot? What's the main difference? We'll explore that. You know about this picture? We have just read this scripture about this. That is the week before Jesus was crucified. He came into the city. And people really, really praised him, and they want him. They want him to be king. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes into the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They want to make him king. But within just a few days, things have changed. This is a very, very different picture. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. Pilate says, "Here is your king." And what's people's response? Take him away. Take him away. Crucify him. The sentiment is very, very different. And a lot of theologians are arguing about this. These are the same people. No. They cannot be the same people. They are different people. And I believe it's probably both. There are overlaps. There are some different people. But there are some of them are the same people. Why would they change their mind? They have seen him, they've seen him done all the miracles, casting the demons and heal the sick. And feed the hungries. And a lot of things they have seen, they've heard, and that's why they want him to be king. Yet, now, they change their mind? Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king but Caesar. The chief priest answered. Now, wait a minute. Israelites, they are under the occupation of Roman government. They didn't have their own government anymore. They don't have their own country anymore. They hated this Roman government. Yet, suddenly, they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And this is a very complicated political issue, so I'm not going to get into it, but focus on what we're trying to get at is why this business of king and the Lord, what's the major difference? First of all, let's take a look of they are making Jesus king rather than making God their king. They know God from the very, very beginning, from their ancestors. They know God. But now, they are willing to make Jesus king. The same reason. Jesus is someone they can touch, they can see, they can interact. But God, they couldn't. And now they see this Jesus is just as powerful as Cain. So they are, they're happy about him. Because why? He can provide for them. But Jesus told them, saying, don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. We need somebody to provide for us. Today, who's that? Ourselves. We make the money, right? But no, I can't really do it. I need my employer. I need to find a job. And this employer, a lot of times, is related to what? It's related to the government. You know, this day, today, Americans are depending on the government more and more and more, not less. America used to be great. Today, it's still great, but not as great as it used to be. Because America used to lending to other country rather than borrow. It was used to be the leader rather than the follower. Today is very, very different, because this country has started to violate God's law. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us, if you follow my command, I'll make you the head rather than the tail. I'll make you rich so that you can lend to others and never have to borrow from anybody else. And that has totally reversed. Because this country has forgot the God who provide. We do need someone who to provide us. And also, he can cast out evil spirit. I have, you know, mentioned about that. But then Jesus reminded them again, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your name are written in heaven. Jesus can do all these. He can provide for them. He can cast out evil spirit. And this is a different picture, a modern version of the picture I just showed you before. Everybody have their own needs, right? Need to be provided for. That's why Clinton won. Clinton, years ago, he won by one sentence, right? What was that sentence? It's the economy, stupid. And that catchphrase really caught people's imagination and met their heart's need. We need jobs. We need money. We need this. We need that. It's the economy, stupid. That's all the issue, focused on this one thing, economy. If you can get the economy right, everybody will be happy. In this picture, it's just the same thing. Everybody have their own needs. Do we need to have our needs met? Of course. Of course. That's it. That is important. But the question is that we live for? We do need our clothes. We do need our food. We need all these basics. Once these things are met, then what? Then you die? Of course not. These are basic needs. Once they're met, so we can focus on what are we really here for. there were some time in my life and many other people's life, the only thing we're worrying about, the only thing we're concerned about is what we wear, what we eat, because resources are very, very scarce. That is not supposed to be the normal. Not supposed to be the norm. It's supposed to be that we were fed, we were clothed, and then let's do what we are here to do. Jesus come to answer that question, but people are not used to it. So we are going to think, what is this point really represent? What's the real difference of this one little tittle? Jesus says, God's word will never change, not even one jot or one tittle. This one little thing in Hebrew, it's called a tittle. What they are expecting from Jesus is that he can lead them to revolt, because they really didn't like many things. One, they want to revolt against the Roman government, and that's for sure. Even among Jesus' disciples, one of his disciples was a revolutionary. Who was that? Do you remember? His name? Even got a name, if you remember. His name is Simon. Simon. He wanted that. And some people actually think Judah was one. This is one of the speculation or theory. Judah was the one want him to be the king and to revolt. Yet, the problem is, Jesus has totally different kind of ideas that Judah was thinking. So Judah says, okay, I'm going to do this to you and then see if you will do something to defend yourself at least. We're not sure about that. But we do know a lot of people want Jesus to come up to revolt. Not only revolt against the Roman government, but also the corrupt Jewish officials. I don't have time to talk too much about how they were corrupt. They used the temple as a money-making organization. And they want so many things from Jesus. Jesus, you lead us to be our king. They want Jesus to be the revolutionary leader. But was Jesus here to lead them to do revolution? This is a trick question. So, if you answer yes, you are wrong. If you answer no, you are wrong. But if you answer yes, you could be right. If you answer no, you could be right too. Okay? I don't have time, so I just tell you. Yes, he is here. No, he is not here to do revolution as we think about the revolution against somebody else, right? He is here to lead us into revolution against who? Against ourselves. He come to ask us to repent. Repent. Condemn your own sin. He come here to tell each one of us, don't revolution against outside, but revolution against inside here. Everything is happening here. G.K. Chesterton, a very renowned journalist in England one time, responded to a newspaper article. The question was, what's wrong with this world? At that time, that's many years back, people asked the same thing. The world is really bad. It's wrong. Something greatly wrong. And G.K. Chesterton, he was at that time was very, very famous. He answered that question, to the editor. He answered the question. It's the shortest letter they ever received. In that letter, he wrote only one word. It says, me. And then signed, G.K. Chesterton. And the editor have to read it many times before they understand. G.K. Chesterton, he's a Christian. He realized it very, very clearly. What's wrong with the world? It's me. It's my sin, your sin, every one of our sin. If we don't deal with this sin, the world is going to continue. Even if we deal with our sins, the world is still going to go that way because they are destined to destruction. Yet, few people will be saved. Jesus told us. The road is small. The gate is narrow. So we need to repent so that we may be saved and hopefully bring a lot of people with us. But if we cannot, it's not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to deal with my sin before God and then help our fellow human to do the same. If they refuse, that's their responsibility. We have done our part. We all have our own agenda, so we need to this is not evincing. Okay, here it is. We all have our own agenda, our own goal, our dream. And I think this is a good time for us to think about, what do we want from Jesus? Why do you come to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? And here is making Jesus our Lord. I think it's a lot easier for me just to do this rather than turn back and forth. We need to make Jesus our Lord, not only King. Yes, He is our King, but not just King, but Lord. Lord has a much deeper meaning. Lord implies a personal relationship. That's what Mary did. Mary really loved the Lord. She loved His word also. That's why Jesus said, only one thing that is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. What hinder us to have the best? We want the best, right? But usually we don't get the best. We get the good. The reason is this. What hinder us to have the best is not the bad things. It is the very good things. When there is a good thing, we don't want to miss it. We grab hold of it, right? And once we grab hold of it, and here comes the best thing, and then we're stuck because I already have it in my hand, and I don't want to let this go. For young people, here is advice. And I was told, don't give advice unless it's asked. But I'm going to do it anyway. Do you know why many great missionaries, way back when, they are young? They're very young. Of course, there's many, many reasons. I think there's one reason that I can identify is that When they were young, they are too stupid. They don't understand everything. They just have the passion. No, that's not what I mean. They do have the passion. They don't have a whole lot of things on their hands. So they go with the passion. They go with the calling. But if they just keep waiting and waiting and waiting, and then they have a family, they have kids, they have a house, they have a car, they have a lot of things, now it is very difficult to let go. Why I say that? Because I went through it. I didn't drop everything and respond to the Lord until I was 53. And that was difficult. That was difficult. And it shouldn't be. Because do you think really God wants you to drop everything so you're going to live a pauper's life? I never did. Even I dropped everything. I still, He provided everything. So that's a different story. What are the good stuff in your life that caused you to miss the best or deviate from your life's purpose? We are called for His kingdom. How much time you spend on His kingdom? How much time you spend on your own kingdom? Experience His love. This is a tough one to really explain, and my time is gone. So I'm going to jump over this one. Maybe I just mentioned it a little bit. Jesus, our relationship with Jesus is two-way street. We a lot of times thinking about what I need from Jesus, how I love Jesus. But do you know how much Jesus loved us? I'm talking about the depth. When He went to Lazarus, after Lazarus was dead for 4 days, and He cried, and I was totally mystified. Why Jesus cried? I might cry if Lazarus was my good friend, right? Or your friend. Jesus, of course, he went over there to raise him. So why would He cry? Isn't that kind of strange? And it mystified me for a long time until I start thinking that Jesus was thinking, is feeling for these people. These people were stuck in this world with so many things, and under the situation, the situation at that time, they were really, really, mourning. They are sad about this. They didn't know what to do. Even though Jesus can do it, that Jesus can really feel these people from His heart. When we are sad, we are in a situation, we don't know what to do, and especially when we do not know Jesus, we do not trust in Him, Jesus really feels sad for us. I wish you know me. I wish you know how much I love you. I wish you know that I'm going to take care of you. And He cried for our not only limited understanding and ability, He cried for our unbelief, not willing to totally trust in Him. No holding back of everything. If we really making Jesus our Lord, He is the Lord, He is the Master. If He is the Master, who am I? Am I the servant? Actually, the Bible used the word not servant. He used the word doulos, meaning slave, bond slave. A servant, you get paid. You know, you get off work and you get vacation. At that time, a servant is like a today's employee. But the bond slave, meaning other than your clothes and the food, you got nothing. Everything, every minute belongs to the Lord. We are the slave. He is the Lord. Do we have a lot of things that we hold back? Mary did not hold back that pint of pure nard. How much that cost? Judah knows. He said how much that cost. A whole year's wage. That's a lot. That's a lot. And Mary not only did that, broke the nard and anoint, wiped with her own hair. Can you imagine? Just imagine how that looked. Jesus sitting there with the dirty feet, wearing sandals. And she poured the nard on her feet. And then imagine this, using the long hair and to wipe it. Is that a glorious sight or what? I see some of you have long hair. Would you be willing to do that? Just imagine the sight. It's an image. Mary doesn't care about the possession. She doesn't even care about her image. She just wants to honor the Lord. Being Chinese, one thing we hold it more than anything else, even more than our life. What is that? 面子, 面子. 哎呀, 好没有面子啊. Mary even dropped that. That is something. Are we willing to consider that? Care only about his own heart's desire. This is something very interesting. We care about what I want. But when you make Jesus Lord, you care about what he wants. The only thing that I can imagine close to that is that when a man pursuing his love, and one thing you can really say, I mean, really flatter your girlfriend, is this. You see us saying that, you know, this girlfriend, oh, how I wish to eat something, which is very, very rare. And the man just saying, oh, no problem, just wait here, I just go get it. And in English, we say, your wish is my command, right? And usually, unfortunately, that stops after the wedding. And brothers, try to pick it up again. Tell your wife, your wish is my command. Or wife, to your husband, your wish is my command. That is the ultimate expression of devotion. This is what we're supposed to do, to say to our Lord. The Lord came to her defense when Judah saying that you're so wasteful. And I felt the same way, actually, until one day I suddenly realized, is there anything could be wasteful if it is done to the Lord? It is an honor if we can give him my most treasured possession. So what are we holding back? Am I holding back something? Are you holding back something for the Lord? Treasure or 面子? If love is true, there is no reservation. We are not supposed to reserve anything for ourselves. Everything belongs to him. He is the Lord. I am the slave. I'm supposed to do whatever can honor him and to glorify him. So the takeaways, is he your king or the Lord of your life? I hope your answer is both. First, he's your king. That's fine. You do it because he told you to do, even if you don't want to. He will accept that. And it is a good training to start with. But you cannot stay there. You have to advance to the point saying, you are the Lord. even if you're not my king, even if you are crucified, even if you are being vilified by the world today, you are still my Lord. Young people, today we are in this situation, especially in the U.S. People start persecuting Christians in a different way. Are we willing? Are we willing to hang on that He is still our Lord? Today, we drag Him to do my bidding. We're supposed to make myself to do His bidding. He is not Lord of all, then He is not Lord at all. In other words, if you reserve a certain area for yourself, then you are not treating Him as Lord. How much reservation you have toward Him? I will follow Him wherever He leads except my girlfriend or my boyfriend. Or, I can't do anything because this is what a job requires me to do. And we have a lot of things that we withhold. That is something I think we need to rethink seriously. What are you reserving for yourself? Because whatever you kept for yourself, eventually it will become your master. You cannot avoid that. Because we have only one master. You cannot worship one master and then another master. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the challenge. From Your word, You are asking us to drop everything, especially ourself. And that is one thing that stands in between You and us. Lord, I pray that You give us the power so that we can overcome ourselves and to devote ourselves to You, because we were created not for ourselves, but for You. We are saved not for ourselves, but for You, to be Your spokesman, to be Your witness until we see You again. Lord, help us to be the best witness that we can be by Your power for Your sake. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and sing together. Let's proclaim together that He is Lord. Hymn 112. Sisters sing, and then the third time, if you can memorize it, just sing all together.